This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 6:37. You're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn, and we are about to move on to our next story, which is going to be on accessibility, or more specifically, accessibility when it comes to digital applications. So this is coming because of a couple of things. It's something that we talk about quite often anyway, but amid the COVID-19 pandemic, we also saw a lot of tech giants and governments developing apps to help curb infections. And these apps are supposed to help with contact tracing, track hotspots, and more. Here at home, we've looked at ones like MySuggestion, Jatra and Sri Lanka. And while those have largely been praised as safe and convenient, experts around the world have criticised COVID-19 apps for not being accessible enough. Tech developers in New Zealand, for instance, say that the NZ COVID Tracer app is a hurdle for the blind. Even if they manage to download it, something as simple as scanning a QR code by themselves is near impossible. And as a result, they're more vulnerable. They're exposed outdoors longer, they may not be able to practice physical distancing as they look for the codes, and the list goes on. All of which brings into question the accessibility and inclusiveness of apps in general. If tech is meant to benefit people by making their lives easier, safer, and more convenient, then it should and must include all sectors of society. And we want to understand how the industry is addressing this at a time when tech can, you know, perhaps be the difference between life and death. And I think it's also important to talk about it in the context of the digitalization of business. The fact that, we're told constantly that the ability to be nimble, the ability to go online and to translate your business from a brick and mortar one into a digital space, that's so crucial. But then when you do that, are you leaving anybody behind? Whether or not it's in the form of business people who might have different abilities who can't therefore get on board, or whether you end up alienating customers who might be blind or deaf and so on and find it difficult to interact with online spaces. So I think that we need to talk about accessibility, especially right now when so many of us have been forced to go more digital than ever before. And to do that, we're going to be speaking after this with Kavindran, who is a digital accessibility advocate. If you have any thoughts on the accessibility of apps and websites, do call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, and tweet us at PFM Radio.
Balming frustrated minds. BFM 89.9.
It's 6:44 and you are listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. We're now going to be talking about apps and user accessibility. And to do that with us on the line is digital accessibility advocate Kevin Thran. Kevin, thank you so much for joining us this evening. So if we're to take a look at the current availability of apps, both within Malaysia and globally, what's the scene like in terms of accessibility?
So, here in Malaysia, there are many blind people who are independently having and using apps. And most of the apps in Malaysia, about 80 to 90%, it is not very accessible. And I will explain shortly what I mean by not accessible. But to put it simply, we can't use it. It is not usable. And this scene is pretty good globally, where most of the apps are accessible or we can use it. And this is because globally we have many laws, and particularly, you know, the country that these apps always come from, which is US or UK or these Western countries, they have this digital accessibility law inculcated in their legislation to say that, look, you should make these apps or digital space accessible or usable for the disabled because it is a public property. But sadly, in Malaysia here, we do not have such law to dictate this inclusive approach.
So maybe let's dial it back. Why is inclusivity so important when it comes to the design of apps? And how do people with disabilities, especially the blind, make use of smartphone apps in day-to-day life?
See, I have a permanent disability. I am a born blind person. So I learn my way through listening and tactile. Tactile means touching. So I learn by reading Braille. So that is my life for about 10 to 12 years. Then I got introduced to computer by my mother, and she loved me to learn and be curious. So I learned computer. So how I access computer is through a software that speaks to me when I type on the computer. This is the basic way. So it's called screen reader. So the name implies that it reads the screen. So then I obtained my iPhone, which also have screen reader. So it's like all of our phone, no matter it's Android or iPhone. So it's a blank screen, we should touch it, but there is a voice that will communicate to me. Many people will think that it's like Siri, but it's not Siri. Siri is where you talk to her or you talk to him. But this is where you touch the screen and it says what is on the screen. So this is how we use our phone or our PC. But the thing here is, when we touch our phone or press the keys on our keyboard, the screen reader, the guy that communicate to us, should actually get the information from the software. So where here accessibility is needed, where these people should design the software to make it able to talk to our screen reader. Now, why accessibility is needed is simple. Just imagine, when you receive a money to your account, and you want to check your balance, and you can't do it here. And that's what me and my friends are facing. We have a bank account, and we have all the information to log in. But when we log in, our screen reader do not, or even worse, we can't log in because the app is not usable. When we open the app, my screen reader stay silent. There is no any feedback. There is no feedback because the app can't give any information to the screen reader. So this is particularly painful, not only in banking situation. In many situations where we use apps all the time. We are dependent on technology. The blind and disabled are dependent on technology more than anyone because technology is the most reliable solution for us. But when it is not usable, when our screen reader, for the case of the blind, when the screen reader didn't communicate the information or nothing is spoken, we are left out and we feel like we are truly disabled.
So maybe you could give us some examples of apps that actually do well in terms of inclusivity and accessibility and talk to us about the impact that that can have on someone who relies on them for day-to-day life.
Yeah, I love the word inclusivity because it does not only mean that the app should be accessible to the blind and it is with a capital letter, because disability is something that can happen to anyone. And there are many apps, mostly apps from the international big companies. They are very accessible because they need to comply with the law. And also some companies have this culture of inclusivity built in. So we use Grab, Tesco. These apps are very accessible. So what I mean by accessible is when I open this app, I can touch all the icons. The icon speaks to me through my screen reader. I can interact with the icon. So let's say if a Grab, I can book my ride without depending on sighted friends. I do not have to give my phone to sighted friends to ask them to see or confirm anything, because everything is read out by the screen reader. And I can see my booking price. I can apply promo code. I can order my food. I can interact with the driver when he sends me chat. I can read my plate number, and when I do not know where is the car, I can ask my sighted friends and say to them that yes, this is the plate number and can you find for me the car. So this is what I call accessibility, where as a disabled or as an app user, you know, when this app is designed with people in mind, they can use it with no issues, and they can use it independently. So people first design is what I mean by inclusivity. Or if I can use the app with screen reader with no issues. That is what I mean when I say the app is usable.
And so what are the challenges that prevent more apps from becoming accessible and inclusive?
Yeah, I think in a bigger macro level, it is about the laws and also the policy, where there is no clear, strong policies to dictate inclusivity here in Malaysia, particularly the 2008 Disability Act are not strong enough, and there is no any clause about digital space and also making digital infrastructure accessible. And also, most importantly, there is no enough awareness. So that's why I'm here. Because people always associate disability with shame and vulnerability. And if there is some kind of thing that these disabled people do, they will applaud it, but only because they thought it's not possible. And they see it as a miraculous thing. But what is left out is the conversation about our daily life, our needs and rights. So this will be left out when there is no awareness. So this is when great media like BFM can come in and tell a completely different story that would uplift the entire world, because inclusivity is for everyone.
So in your opinion then, is it mainly just a discussion that hasn't been prominent enough?
Yes. There is no, like 3 weeks ago or some weeks ago, our top executives have a very good discussion about doing digital transformation. Because now we are realizing more than ever that digital world is our world. Because before this, we separated. But in our life as a blind and visually impaired, we are depending on technology as early as when it started. This is not something new. But when this conversation of full digital transformation are being carried out without any word about inclusivity or great user design. And this is very alarming, because I scared that one day I can't use any of my apps. My screen reader will not speak. It will be silent with no words. And that's dangerous. And that's painful also for everyone, because when you get older or at some point in any situation, you have to depend on assistive technology. What I mean by assistive technology is technology that make you to be able to do things when you are disabled. But when the technology can't communicate with the world, which is not design friendly, this is dangerous. This is painful. Because we are only designing, can I say this, that we are only designing for the young, strong, and powerful males. And this might be controversial, but when you think what is being done, this is it. We are not designing for the old. We are not designing for the kids. We are not including females in the design. And this is alarming.
And have you found this issue of accessibility to be especially relevant in COVID-19?
Yes, it is not only relevant. It is particularly needed, because many of them are standard at home and need to use these grocery apps, need to use the delivery apps, need to depend on Lazada and Shopee, which is not accessible. And they are also need to, apply for this government finance services. And let me say that many of the government sites and services are barely accessible. You need sighted assistance to do things. And this is very, very disturbing. when even we have organizations that are doing stuff for the disabled, but the awareness of accessibility in digital space, which are slowly becoming the world for everyone, is not yet discussed or even think about. So here now in this pandemic, we are more than ever dependent on digital space. But fortunately, now I'm communicating with you on Zoom conferencing app. And Zoom has been in this space for 9 years, and they are very committed towards accessibility. And they always communicate with us in designing the app. And it's fortunate that these big companies are doing accessibility as their utmost priority, and we are benefiting. But when it comes to many essential services, which is most of them here in Malaysia, are not accessible. And we should work together to make it an inclusive place for everything to be usable by everyone. We should think about people because we are using it. Not only the young, youth, strong men. Everyone. Everyone is using it. Everything.
So where do you think we could start if we want to make the digital scene more accessible and inclusive?
The first to start is ourselves and our kids. You see, try to imagine you have to depend on the screen reader and or on this digital accessibility thing. And just try to think about some other people who are using these apps or these services that you have created. And always talk to kids about disabled and people who are diverse in their ability and life. Not to show them as a source of inspiration. It's not right. But to talk to them about the diversity of life here in this world. And many people are doing many things, and there is not one size fits all. We should work in order to make this world a more inclusive place. And in order to do that, we should understand that we are surrounded by diverse people. And the decision that you make, or for the software developer, every line of code make other people's life different. Can you imagine, let's say I'm using this app now, the screen reader is talking to me very nicely, I can use all these things. Suddenly, when this app went through an update, everything breaks. The next morning, I can't use the app because they have changed the interface. They have maybe rewrite things from scratch. And it not only makes me frustrating, but makes me disabled. So the disability comes from the society. So as a society, let's come together, talk to our kids about diversity and disabled people as a source of making everyone to love everyone. So it's a source of love, not inspiration.
Kevin, thank you so much for speaking with us. That was Kevin Thrun, a digital accessibility advocate, talking to us about the current availability of apps within Malaysia and globally when it comes to whether or not they're accessible. So if you would like to weigh in, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. We are headed to the 7 o'clock news.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.